Our scripture reading for today is from Matthew, chapter 13, verses 1 to 23. This is the ESV. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. And great crowds gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat down. And the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, A sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. Then the disciples came and said to him, Why do you speak to them in parables? And he answered them, To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For to the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, You will indeed hear, but never understand, and you will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while, and when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30.
Thank you, Sue Ann, for reading the Word of God.
Good morning, church. Happy first Sunday of the year. Because I'm the third one to wish you, I thought I changed it a little bit, okay? Happy first Sunday of the year. This is the first Sunday of the year. Praise the Lord that we can come here and worship the Lord in this sanctuary on this first Sunday of the year 2019. Now, over the next 9 weeks in the first quarter of this year, the pulpit will be preaching the parables of Jesus. And this is in line with what we are doing in the cell groups. The cell group will be studying for the first quarter of this year, we'll be studying the Bible study book on the parables. And so if you are not a member of the care group, you see, I always say cell group, yeah? And Chiwan will always look at me. Because Chiwan's definition is always care group, yeah? Care group, because we want to be a loving and caring church. All right? So if you are not in a care group, will you make this commitment this year to be a member of the care group? Just make the commitment, Lord, for 2019, I want to be a member of the care group. You remember Pastor Isaac preached last Sunday about accountability, yes. And to be a member of a cell group is to be accountable. And that is a great step to take for the new year. Let us pray. Father, we come to you this morning and we ask that your Holy Spirit will help us as the word is being preached, Lord, I pray that it will go forth in power, even as you use your unworthy servant, Lord, to deliver your word. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. And so, the parable of the sower, you know, Jesus, during his 3 years ministry, he preached a lot in the parables. He was a very good storyteller, and usually when he tells the story, it's in the form of a parable. Now, what is a parable? A parable, according to the dictionary, it says, a short story designed to illustrate or teach some truth, religious principle or moral truth, or moral lesson. And so Jesus used such stories to teach certain truth about the kingdom of God. And he used the parables to sow spiritual seeds in the hearts of men. And these seeds will later grow and bear fruits. Now, as we know, seeds, they take time to grow. And so is our spiritual life. Our journey with God is a long one. When you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, you do not straight away become a spiritual giant. As God plants those seeds in your heart, the Word of God, we grow, and it takes a long, long time. And so the common people of those in the first century can relate easily with such stories because these stories were told in the context of everyday lives. It was a farming community, and so this story is about farming. And so Jesus used the images of a farmer sowing seeds on different kinds of soils and convey his teaching on this particular parable. In fact, in Matthew chapter 13, you have got two other parables there, parables of the weeds and parables of the mustard seed. Both of these are about farming. The picture you see here is the biggest tree in the world. The name of this tree is called General Sherman. They give it a name, you know, after the American general in the Civil War, General Sherman. And this tree, 84 meters high. If you can imagine the 100-meter run, those of you who are running 100 meters run, 84 meters high, and it has got a trunk diameter of 25 feet. Just the trunk diameter, the base is 34 feet, but the trunk diameter itself is 25 feet. 25 feet, you can imagine, probably from here up to the end of the wall there, 25 feet. That's how big it is. And it weighs nearly 2,000 tons. And this tree is found in California, in the Sequoia National Forest. Those of you who have a chance to go to California, it's good to visit some of these national forests. Very interesting. Very interesting. And that's how big, that's the same tree. That's how big the tree is compared to the person there. And on your left-hand side is the seeds. Those are the seeds compared to the matchstick. That's the seed of a redwood. And so you look at the seed, it's such a tiny seed. But given the right soil conditions, it can grow into a huge tree. And this tree is more than 2,000 years old. Long before Abraham, long before Isaac, long before Jacob, the Creator God already put this seed on the soil. Experts estimate that this is about maybe 2,300 years old, this tree. And so in this parable, the seed is the Word of God, the Bible. So given the right soil conditions of our heart, if we let this seed grow in our heart, in the fertile soil of our heart, we can grow into a spiritual giant. Just like this tree, from that little seed, it grows to be the biggest tree in the world. Now, the first batch of seeds fell in a pathway in verses 4 and 19 of this parable. And so a pathway is where we walk. Day in and day out, we walk the pathway. And as you walk the pathway, you know, your steps actually compounds the earth and it becomes hard. And the sower throws the seed, you know, when you throw seeds to the birds, you know, you throw it on the pathway, you don't throw it into the bushes because the seeds can't, the birds can't see anyway. So you throw it on the pathway. And the seeds that fall on the pathway, they cannot, the roots cannot take, cannot go into the soil because it's just too hard, the pathway. Day in, day out, you know, hundreds of people are walking the pathway. So if you want to, Jesus says in verse 4, some seeds fell on a pathway and the birds came and devoured them. And he explains in verse 19, he says, this is the evil one. The evil one came and snatches the word away. And so the seed, the gospel, cannot penetrate into that heart. In this case, this hard soil, this soil on a pathway is equivalent to the hard heart. The heart is hard. The gospel cannot penetrate the heart. People like this were obliged to come to church with you. Christmas, Easter, we invite them. They will come. Don't get me wrong, I long for them to come. Of course, we want to invite them to come. And this is what happened during Christmas. You know, we prayed to God. Yeah, the names that you had in your mind, and we prayed. And lo and behold, we had more than 1,000 people who came to church over Christmas. Double than our normal attendance in church for the English congregation. They came. And that's important, they come. Because they come and hear the gospel. The gospel is being preached. Some may come reluctantly, you know, you drag them to church. Your relatives, your father, your mothers, you know, you drag them to church. And they come, they listen to the gospel. And that is our job as a church. That is our job. That is our responsibility. Salvation is God's responsibility. It is not our responsibility. Sharing the word of God, sharing the gospel is each and every one of us' responsibility. And therefore, whether it is Christmas or Easter, that's a good opportunity for us to invite them. Of course, you know, many of us have come across hard hearts. My late father, you know, was one. But 8 months ago, eight months before he died at the age of 93. But over the last 30 years, we have been talking to him about the gospel. We have brought pastors and people conversant in Hokkien to speak to him about the gospels, and he didn't want to believe because he said, all religions are the same. Until 8 months before he died, he accepted the Lord as his Lord and Savior. And he was baptized here at the back here. I helped him, 93 years old. I helped him to be baptized here. Probably one of the oldest to be baptized in this church, in the pool there. Dip him in, into the pool. Yeah? So, hard hearts can be transformed into receptive hearts. We just have to pray. We just have to pray. You know, I pray for 30 years for my father, for his salvation. And so those of you who has got aged parents who are still not Christians, don't give up hope. Not necessarily that I pray every day over those 30 years, but consistently I prayed over the 30 years for my father's salvation. And the power of the Holy Spirit will work. Now, the second batch of seeds in verses 5 and 20 was sown on rocky ground, and this is the one who hears the word and immediately receive it with joy. Verse 21, yet he has got no root in himself, but endures for a while, and when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. And a person like this has got only the word of God in his head. It is only intellectual. The word doesn't go into the heart. And this is the person with a shallow heart. In the first place, in the pathway, that's a person with a hard heart. This is the person with a shallow heart. Receive the gospel with joy, but no conviction of sin in the heart. And so the seed cannot penetrate this rocky ground. The soil is very shallow. Jesus is like the Aladdin lamp to people like this, you know. You want something, you just go to the Aladdin lamp, rub a bit, you know. Lord, I want this, I want that, you know. Pew, yeah, you get it, yeah. And we always want blessings, blessings, blessings. So when the journey is a little bit difficult, then we drop off. Jesus is always like a service provider. Of course, I mean, sadly, in my many years in church here, my wife and me, we taught Sunday school for about 10 years. And we have seen some of those that we taught in Sunday schools today, you know, have strayed away from God. God is totally, totally alien to them. The seeds were sown, but the word of God those years fell on shallow hearts, on rocky soil. Now, many of us in my generation, we know about Billy Graham. Some of you young ones, probably you don't know about Billy Graham. How many of you have heard about Charles Templeton? Put up your hands. Yeah, very few, very few. One or two. Yeah, but most of us will know Billy Graham, that great evangelist for God. In fact, Charles Templeton and Billy Graham, they were partners in the ministry in the early years. Some people say that Charles Templeton, in fact, was even a better evangelist than Billy Graham. Already in their early 20s, you know, they were preaching to millions of people at that point of time, in the 1940s. But one day, Charles Templeton, having given up his faith, his belief in God, told Billy Graham, "Billy, you are out of date. People no longer accept the Bible as being inspired the way you do. Your faith is too simple, Billy." And so Templeton challenged Billy Graham, and he seems to be winning this tug of war. Now, the devil has already defeated Charles Templeton. And now he's using Charles Templeton to defeat Billy Graham as well. In his autobiography, Billy Graham wrote an autobiography, Just As I Am. He wrote while he was in Los Angeles. In fact, he was on the verge of a major crusade in L.A. He wrote, "One night at Forest Home," this is near L.A., "I walked out into the woods and set my Bible on the stump, and I cried out, 'Oh God, there are many things in this book I do not understand. There are many problems with it for which I have no solution. There are many seeming contradictions. There are some areas in it that do not seem to correlate with modern science. I can't answer some of the philosophical and psychological questions Charles Templeton and others are raising.'" And then Billy Graham fell to his knees, and the Holy Spirit moved in him, and he said, "Father, I'm going to accept this as thy word by faith, and I'm going to allow faith to go beyond my intellectual questions and doubts. And I will believe this to be your inspired word, the Bible to be the inspired word. And as I stood up, my eyes stung with tears, but I felt the power and presence of God in a way I had not experienced in months. A major bridge had been crossed, he said. That moment of surrender on the August 9th of 1949 not only changed Billy Graham's ministry, but impacted eternity. As we know, Billy Graham went on to conduct crusades after crusades after crusades, and millions have heard the gospel, while Charles Templeton lost his faith and became an agnostic. He died years before Billy Graham. Now, many people who strayed away from God have allowed their intellectual to reason about their beliefs. But brothers and sisters, Christianity is based on faith. By grace you have been saved through faith. We must have faith to believe God. We cannot reason with our intellect. We must have faith to believe God. Of course, every Christian parent will feel sad when they see their children who were once active in church now living as if God totally alien to them. Let me encourage you, parents, never give up. Never give up. Whether it is a hard heart, whether it is a shallow heart, it can be a receptive heart by the power of God. Jesus says, always pray and never lose heart. In Luke chapter 18, verse 1, always pray and never lose heart. If you remember the story of the prodigal son, as the prodigal son realized to come home, it was the father who, with open arms like this, welcomed the prodigal son. Well, that's exactly what Jesus did on the cross for us. Yeah. He was nailed to the cross. And that's why we observe the Lord's Supper today. And his arms are always open like this to welcome any prodigal who are willing to come home. The third batch of seeds fell among stones and got choked in verses 7 and 22. And this is the person with a divided heart. Our hearts are divided, choked by the things of the world. A Christian with a divided heart can be a miserable Christian without joy. We cannot have real joy because Jesus says, no one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. And so many of us in church, actually, we are in this category. At some point in our Christian walk, maybe even right now, how is your Christian life? Is it being choked by the thorns of this world? What are these thorns? And so in this parable, Jesus said there are two things. Number one, the cares of the world, in verse 22, the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches. These two things will derail our walk with God. What are the cares of the world? Now, a man decided that he will hire someone to worry on his behalf, and so he found a man who agreed to take up this job as a worrier. I mean, this man, you know, agreed to take up this job as a worrier for 10,000 ringgit a month. So he said, well, that's a very, very good offer just to be your worrier, you know, worry on your behalf. And so the first day of job, he asked his boss, boss, how are you going to pay me this 10,000 ringgit a month? The boss told him, that is your worry. What are the things we worry about? How do we deal with these worries? On one occasion on the Sea of Galilee, Jesus was with the disciples in the boat, and then a great storm arose. But he was sleeping in the boat. And the disciples were so afraid that they will sink. And so they went to wake him up and say, save us, Lord. And what did Jesus say? Jesus said, O man, little faith. And that is the answer to our worries. We are worried
we are anxious because we have little faith in God. The Bible says, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of God. This is a seed that is sown in our hearts. As we cultivate this seed, our faith grows and grows. In fact, Jesus says, don't be anxious. Why do you want to be anxious? In Matthew, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. And Jesus says, oh, you of little faith. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. The cares of this world, worries, anxieties, these are from the enemy. Satan put this into our soul, into our hearts, to choke the word, to stifle our Christian growth, and make us unfruitful. And so we are robbed of joy and peace. And the only way to have victory is to challenge these doubts with the unchanging promises of God. I do feel anxious many times. And every time I will meditate on these two verses over and over until I regain peace in my heart. Some of you have your other verses, but these two verses are precious to me. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, make your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And Isaiah verse 26:3, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. And so I will meditate and meditate and meditate until I have peace in my heart. You have your other verses. And the only way to conquer anxiety and worry is to meditate on the Word of God. And the second, thing that can derail our faith is the deceitfulness of riches. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 6, but those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money, listen to this, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. In 1 Timothy chapter 6. Let's listen to the story of Dr. Richard Teo of Singapore. If I can have that slide up. Okay, this is Dr. Richard Teo of Singapore. Some of you may have read his story. He had everything by the time he was in his 30s. Millions. And because he had a thriving aesthetic medical practice, Ferraris and things like this. Money, to his own admission, is the most important thing in his life. Now, we always think that maybe non-Christians are the ones who are chasing after money, but no, Dr. Teo himself, he is a Christian. Maybe a nominal one at that point of time. Listen to what he says to the Singapore Dental Christian Fellowship in November 2011. This is his own words. He said, actually, he was an eye doctor, but he made the decision to change into aesthetic because that's where the money is.
You know? And so these are his words I read. I dive straight into aesthetic medicine. People were not willing to pay when I was doing locum back in those days. Anything more than 30 Singapore dollars, they would complain, wow, this locuna very kuya. In Cantonese, wow, yisang kam kuai ga. In English, yeah, means, hey, doctor, this is very expensive, you know. And they make noise and were not happy. But some people were willing to pay 10,000 for the liposuction. And so I said, well, let's stop healing the sick. I'm going to become a beautician, a medically trained beautician. And so his clinic grew. You know, from one doctor, he employed two doctors, three doctors, four doctors, and carried on. And nothing is ever enough. He says, I wanted more and more and more and more, and so much so that we set up shops in Indonesia for the Indonesian Thai Thais. Indonesian Thai Thais has got plenty of money. And so we set up shop there in Indonesia, and things were doing well, very well. My time has arrived, he said. And around same time in February last year, I said, okay, I have so much cash. It's time to get my first Ferrari. And so there, I was getting ready for the deposit. Okay, there comes my first Ferrari. I was looking for land to share with some of my friends. I have a banker friend who makes $5 million a year. Bankers, they make a lot of money. So I thought, come, let's come together. Let's buy some land and build our houses. I was at my prime, getting ready to enjoy. And at the same time, he says, my friend Danny had a spiritual revival. And they were going back to church and they asked me to come back to church. Richard, come back to church. And in my arrogance, I told them, you know what? You go tell your pastor to change your sermon to 2 p.m. I will consider coming to church. Such arrogance. I told any of my friends, if God really wanted to come back to, wanted me to come back to church, He will give me a sign. And lo and behold, he got a sign from God. In March 2011, out of the blue, while he was in the gym, he felt a pain on his back. And he went for a PET scan the next day, and they diagnosed that he had terminal cancer. Terminal lung cancer 4B. I don't know what's that, but looks like it's very, very terminal. It has spread to the brain, half the spine, whole of my lungs, and were filled with tumor, liver, adrenals. And there I was, lying on the operating table, staring at the ceiling on that cold operating table. And suddenly I just heard an inner voice. And the voice says, this has to happen to you at your prime because it's the only way you can understand. Because I was so proud of myself my whole life, I needed nobody. God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. And so on my deathbed, I found no joy. Whatever objects I had, my Ferrari, thinking of the land I was going to buy to build my bungalow, etc., having a successful business. Remember, this is his words. Remember that it's more important to further his kingdom rather than to further ourselves. This was what he told the Christians there, you know, in the dental fellowship. It's another way of saying, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be yours as well. And so, at that prime age, Dr. Richard Yeo found that all the riches that he had accumulated could not save his life. Brothers and sisters, the deceitfulness of riches. How do we stand against the temptation of the world? We have to stay close to God. How do we stay close to God? By getting to know Him. And how do you know Him? This is the Word of God. read the Bible, and we will get to know Him. This is the operational manual for us for a productive, joyful, and abundant life. Jesus says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I come to give you abundant life. And abundant life, you know, we can have it if we read this operational manual given to us by our Creator God. This is the one. We have to spend time with Him. And as we study His Word, our faith will grow, our life will change. The strength of all relationships, including our relationships with God, depend on how much time we spend to nurture this relationship. And finally, the fourth batch of seeds in verses 8 and 23 fell on good soil and produced a bountiful harvest. Jesus says these are the ones in close communication with Him through the Word. And this is the person with a committed heart, the blessed Christian, the joyful Christians that produces blessings 100 times, 60 times, 30 times. Psalms 1 says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of the sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruits in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all he does, he prospers. The Bible says, everyone who hears these words of mine and does them, hears and does them, church, hears this word and does them, will be like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. Brothers and sisters, at the beginning of this year, let us make a commitment to God to stay healthy spiritually. Make the soil of our heart fertile to receive the Word of God. Spend time with God. Commune with God. Be consistent in our quiet time with God. The tiniest of seeds can grow into the biggest tree in the world. Likewise, if we allow the Word of God to transform us, we can be spiritual giants. In verse 15 in a parable, Jesus asks, for these people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them. How is your heart? Has it grown dull toward God? How are your ears? Can you hear God? How are your eyes? Can you still focus on Him? What kind of soil are you? The pathway, the hard ground that signifies a hard heart, the rocky soil that signifies the shallow heart, the soil with thorns that signifies the heart, or the fertile soil that signifies the committed heart. God desires everyone's heart to be committed. Whether it is hard heart, whether it is shallow heart, or whether it is divided heart, by the power of the Holy Spirit, it can be a committed heart. Be that fertile soil that can produce crop of 160 or 30 times. I want to give you an opportunity this morning to respond to God's Word as we sing the closing hymn. I ask the musicians to come up here. As we sing the closing hymn, I want you to sing this as your personal prayer to God. If you have drifted away from God, come home. Come back to Him. God is the God of second chances, third chances, fourth chances. Hard hearts, shallow hearts, divided hearts. If you are willing, He can make you to be that committed heart. His love and His grace is vast as the ocean. Come home. Allow his heart to be rooted firmly and deeply in your spiritual life, in the fertile soil of our heart this new year, and you will be like that tree as described in Psalm 1, planted by streams of water that yields its fruits in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. Let us go to God in prayer. Father, we come to you and we ask you to speak, O Lord, and renew our minds. Speak, we come to you this morning to receive the food of your holy word. O God, take your truth and plant it deep in us. Shape and fashion us in your likeness, so that the light of Christ might be seen in us today. All for your purpose and for your glory, O God, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.